Warp Zone.
The Empire strikes back with multiple laser attacks, Decepticon infiltration, stealing information, tapping communications with Recordicons, target masses, sound wave stereo. I don't believe in a no-win scenario for an epic adventure, no retreat, no surrender. Cleaning up the city with Mayor Mike Hagar, clashing with the Foot Clan in the shadows of the streetlights, spotlights, bright lights, and if you've got a new pet, don't feed him after midnight. Cruising on our bicycles, we never say die. From the attic to the basement, uncovering the secrets with the power bracelet. Ryu and Ken style, kicking it on the pavement. 88 miles per hour, we out of time. Meanwhile, at Warp Zone.
Hello and welcome to Meanwhile at Warp Zone. This is our pilot episode, and my name is Carrie, and today I'm with my friends Scott and Josh. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, fellas.
Hello, my name is Scott.
Hello. My name is Joshua, or Josh.
It's not a phone sex line. It's not
a phone sex line. We don't need that much bass, Josh.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll less next time.
Scott has come up with a little get-to-know-us arsenal of questions. If you want to go ahead and explain your reasoning behind the method to your madness.
Yeah, I can do it. Basically, what I was thinking was, let's start this off with how you would normally start off, like a new job or whatever. You know how you do those round tables and everybody's like your name and your place you're born and some personal thing about yourself, and it's always awful. So so I came up with one. I hope so it's a little less than awful this time, but I was thinking we could all just say our name, our occupation if you want to, the first game you've ever played, and your favorite password. So I guess I'll go first. And my name is Scott, and I do video production. And the first game I ever played, apparently, just named Kangaroo, the Kangaroo game where you're punching and it's basically Donkey Kong, but with a kangaroo with boxing gloves, from what I understand and from what I remember. Is that correct, Carrie?
It is correct, and basically, like Donkey Kong, but you're an animal with boxing gloves, is a terrific way to rip something off.
It is. It is. And I don't know. I like that a little bit better than just some dude. I don't know. There's something about it. I mean, I know, and I guess I played it on both because I remember the super pixelated gray dot version, and then there's, like, super pixelated. Now you can tell the boxing gloves between the kangaroo, so it's like it was quite an upgrade.
So they added a couple squares to that boxing glove, a
couple more squares. But my favorite password, I always usually like to do, because I worked in sales, I did I'm better than you or you're a douche, because they encouraged sentences.
Which is a very strange. Yeah,
there was a whole like description, like make sure you make it a sentence, and then you won't have to renew it as much. And I'm like, I don't want to renew this ever, so let's make it as long as possible. And then, sadly enough, when you're fired, they ask for those passwords. And so at that time, I was on You're a Douche, and at the time, I spelled You're wrong. In it. And sadly enough, I didn't even realize it until I was giving it to the person as he was firing me. I forgot the E.
So that makes you the douche.
Yeah, it makes me the douchiest of them all, because I'm being fired and I can't spell, apparently. So
so they feel completely justified in firing.
Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, I'll go next. My name is Carrie, and my occupation is Video Master Blaster. If you want a further explanation, I won't be able to provide one. My first game played is uncertain. I'm not sure which one it is, but I do know it was for the Atari 2600. When I was 4 or 5 years old, my grandmother bought me a used Atari with a little shoebox of games. I know Pole Position, Asteroids, Freeway, Spider Fighter. There was a lot of classics in there. I'm not sure which one would be the very first one that I played, because for, you know, believe it or not, the Atari didn't blow me away with its graphics at age four. Well, I guess the biggest reason being,
what do you want? What, I mean,
well, in defense of the Atari company, they did have a four color system, and my grandmother bought me a black and white TV to play it on. So I was not experiencing it in its full glory. I was playing it in black and white, and Pac-Man in black and white, I guess, just isn't as dazzling as it is rocking the full four colors it provided.
It's definitely a step down from the arcade cabinet.
It is.
There was a time, like, it's crazy. There was, like, a delineated time where before the time, it was, like, everything in the arcade was way more awesome than it was on console. And then now, it's like everything is so much better on PC.
And the
PC.
Sad thing for me is I experienced console first. Like, I don't have a memory of arcade until after the Atari experience, because I grew up in a little podunk town, and there was an arcade that was near my uncle's house.
I visited it. I've been there.
No, you haven't.
No, I haven't? Oh, okay. I thought it was in the mall. Was it in
it
the
was not. No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
It was not in the mall.
This I went to the EB Games in the mall. That's
you
where
did go to EB Games back when it existed. but long before I was so rudely interrupted.
I'm sorry.
Scott, in my little podunk town, the arcade was like the seedy underbelly for the teenage kids. And I was not allowed in there because I guess, you know, they were, as I said, it was seedy, and my mother would not allow me to go into that arcade. But there was one at the mall that you were referring to, and that one was actually called Aladdin's Castle. And it was a Namco arcade. They had Namco tokens symbols on theirs. But long story short, not sure what the first game was. One of the big Atari games, probably Pac-Man Asteroids or Pole Position. jumping to my favorite password, is 12345, which is the password from Spaceballs to keep the air in of the I can remember the character's name, but I can't. Oh, Planet Druidia is what it was. I remember now because it was a take on it was a joke on, like, they were basically like space Jewish people. They weren't Jews. They
Wait. Mel Brooks made a Jew joke?
He made a Jew joke.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
You're blowing my mind right now.
But they were called Druish instead of Jewish. They were Druids, I guess. And they kept making jokes about her being a Druish princess and stuff like that. But when they finally attempt to torture the princess at the end, and they finally glean the password out of King Roland, and he, you know, slowly, hesitantly gives it to him, and he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Mel Brooks is so annoyed, he's like, that's it? That's the same password as my luggage. And the whole movie has led up to them obtaining that 12345 password. So to me, that's a pretty epic password.
It is pretty epic. How about you, Josh?
My name is Josh. My occupation is audio engineer. And yep, that's what I do. I engineer audio. The first game that I played was something on Atari or ColecoVision. I don't really remember what it was.
Why can nobody remember? I don't understand.
Because we were too little, Scott.
But I was young, but it's like the only memories I have of this one place, and is Atari, and trying to get my Atari work, and it never worked, but it worked on this other guy's thing, and he had an Atari, he gave me the crappy Atari, and it was just...
The best thing that I can figure that happened, Scott, is whatever game it was, immediately after playing it, it molested me.
And you've just blocked it out.
And I'm just blocking it out, and... That's the only justification I can have for not remembering.
I mean, it's something that's ingrained in your mind. We just need to go get you therapy, and you'll remember.
it'll come out, and I'll be like, "No, Pac-Man!"
So much crying.
Those aren't your balls, you eat.
Those little ghosts are boys. No, I don't know.
Oh man.
Go ahead, Josh. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So yeah, the first game that I played was something either on Atari or ColecoVision. It was something that somebody gave to my parents. It was a ColecoVision that had the Atari attachment to it. So it had like 50 or 60 games on it. And I just remember playing like Solaris and some tank game and Asteroids. And on the ColecoVision, there was a couple of games, Fortune Builder and Beer Tapper. And Beer Tapper was awesome. We used to have hours of fun with Beer Tapper. It just never ended. It just kept going and going. Yeah, and we would get up to like level 160 or something, and it was just, man, just more guys serving at the bar.
They're so thirsty.
And it would be so crazy because, like, after a while, you would like be in outer space, like on some spaceship, serving like root beer to these aliens that are coming up to this bar. It was the weirdest thing. We were like, man, this is awesome.
So was it Beer Tapper or was it just Tapper?
It's root beer.
I think it was called Tapper.
I think it was just. But don't they allude to it being root beer instead of real beer?
Yes, root beer.
Don't want to be advocating drinking to the children.
No, just root beer. I mean, just
and then that. We had hours of fun playing Fortune Builder.
Don't want you to be drunk. We just want you to have diabetes.
Diabetes. Yep. All right. So, favorite password is you can use one, Josh, that you're not using right now.
The password that I had that was a favorite. It was just so funny to me because it was something like in I think like elementary school or middle school that when they handed us our ID cards, we had each student had a serial number. So it was like we were because it was a really bad school. So they would like call us by our serial numbers.
Are you sure you weren't in jail?
I know exactly. Right. So I used to use my student ID number as my password. And the password was 11231814. And I still remember it to this day. And wow. I don't use it anymore, but I used to use it in high school for stuff like, you know, getting computer logins. I'd be 11231814. Yeah.
I guess if you think about it, prison and school's not that different. I mean,
not that scheduled playtime,
scheduled meals.
Forced to be around people that most likely you do not like. But
no. But you just get to go home at the end.
That's a disturbing reason for a password. I'm sorry, Josh. When you were in jail.
I want to revise my password, and mine is either of your ATM numbers that you would be willing to share with the audience. That's a lot of silence.
Silence, yeah. Okay.
Moving along. All right, so for our first podcast topic, we wanted to kind of flesh out some interests of the hosts. And hi, as being one of the hosts, I got to have first pick in three topics that I came up with. I said to pick your favorite movie, favorite video game, favorite toy. And then we posted a little survey on Facebook and had people vote on it. The three that I had selected for movie, I picked Big Trouble in Little China. For video game, I picked Contra for the Nintendo. And for toy, I picked the Transformer Soundwave. And for a good while, the Big Trouble in Little China and Soundwave were tied. But then at the end, the winner was Soundwave. And that's what we're going to talk about today is Soundwave specifically, but also a little bit about Transformers in general. And the next podcast, we'll have Scott do the same where he picks his favorites and then we have a vote on it.
And I don't know what they're going to be. Just going to have to wait.
Anticipation.
I'm trying to create like the sense of urgency. I don't know if you noticed that. But
as many of you may know, or many of you don't, I'll explain to you. Soundwave is one of the original Transformers. It came out in the early 80s, and he was a Transformer that transformed into a tape cassette, and specifically it was a micro cassette. He would eject small little cassettes out of him that would then transform into other Decepticons. Decepticon was the alignment that Soundwave and his cassettes had. There's two main groups of Transformers. There'd be the Autobots and the Decepticons, and Soundwave being one of the Decepticons, or the evil group of Transformers.
Deceitful, very deceitful, full of deception and decepticoning. Now I just want to say when I was prowling through some blogs and stuff like that, just looking at what people thought were cool Transformers, a lot of people did not like Soundwave.
Really?
Yeah, because of his antiquated transforming.
Because he transformed into a tape player, essentially.
Yes. Which I was like,
at the time, it's kind of iconic, though. You know what I mean? Mm. A lot of people, you know, rocking their, you know, Walkmans and whatnot. And that's, I mean, basically what he was. I mean, you throw a pair of headphones into him and he's, you know, a little Walkman. And I understand, you know, he was basically antiquated equipment, you know, going out at the time, even because CDs were introduced in the 80s. It took a while for them to become mainstream, but he was already on his way out technology wise back. He may as well turn into a, you know, like a Ford Pinto.
So, what am I going to do with this unusable Transformer? I don't even know.
I mean, it was terrific, though. I mean, I don't know how people can hate him because the cassettes are terrific. And I mean,
that was their big thing. It was the big thing was that it was antiquated. But there's a lot of good to him, and I'll let you say it, but
I mean, the challenge with it is, because I know that they've had, you know, several other iterations of him where he is, you know, I've seen ones where they say he's data discs and stuff like that. Like, he's actually looks more like, you know, they transform like round discs, which I guess would be representative of a CD or DVD or something. But I mean, no matter what, for what he is, he's supposed to be something that, you know, ejects smaller Transformers, and, you know, he's the communications officer. So it's always something about recording stuff. Because, like, when he ejects, say, Laserbeak, I mean, he's like the reconnaissance guy. Yeah. He sends that Laserbeak over to watch the Autobots and record what they're doing, and then he comes back, and Soundwave transforms into the, you know, super tiny cassette player, you know, somehow magically shrinks from the full-size 20-foot robot, or however tall he is in the cartoon, into the tiny little tape player that lands on the counter, and then he plays for the rest, Megatron and the rest of the Decepticons, you know, what the Autobot plan for the episode is, or, you know, what are they up to? We got to go in and wreck up the place. And that's the funny thing about it is, you know, he also can magically bend space and time to change his size, apparently, from giant robot to tiny little cassette.
To hand, like, pocket size, like pocket, not even like
a person can pick him up.
That's awesome.
It's the same magic that's in Megatron turning into a gun that, you know, one of the other Transformers can hold. Or
isn't it Soundwave that does it?
Soundwave? It's either Soundwave or Starscream that usually fire Megatron's gun. Those are the two main ones, which is kind of odd because you know, Megatron basically hates Starscream. Like, Starscream's like, you know, his whipping boy that he basically tells is stupid all the time. And because, like,
he wants to take over. He's totally in it for himself.
But, I mean, if you're that guy and you're the leader, wouldn't you basically be like, all right, we got to do something about Starscream?
I would have been. He would
tired of this. Trying to overthrow me all the time. Instead, I just tell him he's stupid all the time. And, you know, I don't ever really do anything serious about it. I mean, not until Galvatron came along and just annihilated.
Oh, yeah. That was wonderful.
And that was wonderful. It's like, oh, it's this, like, has been a long time coming, fella.
I guess the thing is that Megatron's just very indecisive.
Apparently.
You know, he wants to conquer the Earth. Now he wants to conquer Cybertron. He just doesn't know.
Maybe he's like, you know, he's full of deception. Full of deception. Classic Decepticon here.
Yep.
can't fault the guy.
I blame his parents. But...
And something I know we didn't talk about was, you know, he even has an Autobot counterpart that they create later on, Blaster, which, I mean, you know, he's so cool that they have to make a, you know, second version of him, basically, and they make Blaster, and he's more like a big boombox versus, you know, a little cassette player, but he, you know, he's got his little entourage of cassettes, too, and they basically mirror Soundwaves, and, you know, gives a little crew to fight the bad cassettes. And overall, it was a lot of fun back then. It's still a lot of fun now, and it holds a lot of nostalgia for me.
It's always precious when the little cassettes fight each other. Like, they're
it
just
is
they're it's just like they're like, hey, stop. It's like there's a lot of slapping. It's just a lot of fun. It's precious.
I promise you, you know, as a kid, I even remember having some internal monologue watching the movie just of what you're talking about there, when Soundwave's cassettes crash through the dome of the Autobot City into the room. I guess it's like a communication tower that Blaster's in, trying to transmit a help signal. And they go to it, and, you know, they each match up another one fighting each other. And I remember, I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but it was one of the good, like, humanoid form cassettes shooting at Ravage. And I just remember me thinking that inside his head, that dude's going, "Bad kitty, bad kitty," as he shoots a laser gun at him.
Yeah.
Even as a child, you know, like, I was probably like somewhere between 6 and 8, you know, I still remember thinking that, and just thinking that that was the most hilarious thing ever, that he's attacking this cat bot with a pistol, basically. But how about you, Josh? You have any fond memories of Soundwave?
I don't remember much of the cartoons. I mean, I do remember watching them, but not much of the storyline or what was going on in them. The main thing I do remember is I actually had the actual stereo that transformed and the tape decks. I had the little tapes. I had like a bunch of them, and it was probably my favorite of all the Transformers, just because it was cool. And it wasn't until a couple of years after I had them that I even knew what the names of these Transformers were. And I was like, man, these are so awesome.
That's pretty funny too, because I remember as a kid the same thing happening, to where like I had a lot of toys that I knew all their names, and then I had many toys where it's like, no idea what their name is, but it's a super cool toy. But it's not right. Like it is today, where you can just hop on the internet and, like, you know, figure out what your rare toy is in 15 seconds after you.
I gotta take the packaging out of the garbage can and look at it. Now, yes, this is awful. Exactly.
Well,
I have
the
to learn to
of
read.
It is, too, is like, when you're a little kid, I mean, I was getting toys, you know, from the time I can remember up until I was probably too old to be getting them. I'm still getting them now. And, I mean, you know, you're a little kid. You open a toy when you're 4 and you play with it when you're 6 or 7, when you're actually retaining those memories a little bit better. It's like, God, I don't remember what this guy's name was when I opened him in a package when I was 4.
Right.
Or even like watching Goonies. I'm like, they say shit a lot in that movie.
Yeah.
I did not remember that at all.
And same thing. Like, I was watching Back to the Future the other day, and I was like, they curse a lot in this movie.
They weren't as worried about cursing back then. It was okay.
It's for the kids.
They even decided to throw a couple curse words into the Transformers cartoon movie in 1986. There's two of them, believe it or not.
What were they? Damn.
Shit, and then later on.
No way. Damn. Is there shit in the movie?
They say shit right after Spike and Bumblebee are trying to blow up Unicron, basically with a self-destruct on the moon base they are on. Like, aside from Cybertron, there's several moons around Cybertron they use as like little, you know, fortress base, you know, secondary bases or whatever. And they were on Moon Base 2, and they seen Moon Base 1 get eaten, so they set Moon Base 2 up to explode. And
I do remember that. I remember that.
They hop in their ship, and as they're taking off in the ship, they blow it up, and then they're all excited.
Because they think they killed them.
Yep. And then, like, after they see it, Spike is the one that says, I can't remember the exact context, but they're like, oh, shit, we didn't even dent it or something like that. I promise you, go back and watch it. They did have the word shit right there. And then later on, Ultra Magnus, who was voiced by Robert Stax, if you guys don't remember who he is, he used to do Unsolved Mysteries. He was the host. And he was trying to open the Matrix whenever Galvatron and Cyclonus and the Sweeps were attacking them on the planet of Junk. And he's like yanking on the Matrix, and you can hear him like struggling to pull this open. And he says,
I think I remember that.
Open, damn it, open.
Yes, I remember that.
So that was the other, that was the other swear in the Transformers movie.
You know, I think I remembered the, how the context of how he said shit. He's like, I was going to have a joke, and it went away from me. It was something shit, like, something like, you say shit, and it's not the correct, huh? It's like, oh, we shit it up, or something. I really shit it up, that joke.
Oh, man, Unicron's really fucking up shit. Maybe it'll be like those G.I. Joe PSAs where like, oh shit, you see those shit? This big old fucking planet ate shit up.
Oh, you shit that planet up.
You shit it. Oh, he's going to eat this planet and then shit it out.
I can see it.
This guy eats moons. He eats moons for breakfast and shits them out for lunch.
That's it. That was my joke. So,
glad I could help you get back to that.
So, I feel like we should talk about, like, our favorite Transformer. I feel like everybody's got their favorite Transformer. Of course, Carrie's is Soundwave.
Sounds like Josh's is Soundwave, too.
Yep, yep.
Definitely. Is it really Soundwave? Come on, choose something else. Choose something else. Choose a different one.
All right,
I'm not, you know, I like Soundwave too, but I'm not going to choose them, jackass. I'm just kidding.
I can give another favorite for this topic just so I can make it less boring.
Okay. Well, you know what? I think we've heard enough.
So if I just say Soundwave again, then it just.
You should say Soundwave again. Say it.
Carrie and his redundancy in this podcast. It's Soundwave and then you Soundwave. It's like I'm just going to replace it with words like Smurf. You know what I mean? Like a Smurf would. You got to really Soundwave that Soundwave over there, Scott.
Soundwave, yeah.
Soundwave, yeah.
Man, I totally.
You seem to just replace the F word with Soundwave all the time.
I totally Soundwaved you.
You bet your Soundwave I do.
What was the one that had all the construction vehicles that turned into the big... Devastator? Okay. Devastator. Yeah, that was the one that I liked.
He's very popular. I've read about it, but... Also, Hot Rodimus, I don't know, maybe.
Hot Rodimus?
Hot, or just Rodimus Prime.
Really, Scott? Hot Rodimus?
I put them together, I'm sorry. Here, I'll say it.
Are you channeling your mother from 20 years ago? Is she here right now? I guess it would be more like 30 years ago.
The rap.
There's him in them Transformers. He's got that Hot Rodimus.
the rap, and he's just listening to it.
He knows... You know where you know just enough about it to, like, miss, you know, quote its name?
It's the worst. Just the worst.
Scott, it is Hot Rod, and he becomes Rodimus.
I knew that. It was a Freudian slip.
I don't know.
I don't know. I got a
So you're saying that you think he's hot? Yeah. Is that what it was? You're
so like, hot.
You're sexually attracted to Rodimus Prime, then?
To Judd Nelson.
Oh, yes. Is that what it is?
That's who it is.
You're like, he was Johnny Bender from The Breakfast Club.
he got the, you know, girl.
That would be a pretty fun thing to do, is to take some, like, actual sound clips that Judd Nelson did in The Breakfast Club and just make a little video with clips of the Transformer movie and Rodimus and Hot Rod. You know what I got for Christmas? A pack of kind of smokes.
F you, Dad. F you. No, F you.
I think that's going to have to happen. We're going to have to combine those two things together.
You're going to have to make his voice match up to his lips, because I'm not doing that.
They're robots. It'll be okay.
Something I do want to say about that I was reading when I was perusing about Soundwave is how he has no discernible personality.
No, he's pretty monotone in everything he does. Like, He's a pretty good second in command.
He just does things. It just does it, and he's just, I don't know. I got nothing. But
he has no personality. I mean, you're completely right in that. He just, the way he talks is very monotone. He basically just follows orders, and he just does things logically. He doesn't really put any kind of, like, emotion into anything. Like, meanwhile, like, you know, a lot of the others, you know, they're fueled by hate or whatever, you know, the other Decepticons. He's all about logic and, you know, just being
you know, as far as, like, favorites, I loved Astrotrain. I love Megatron is
pretty terrific, and believe it or not,
Galvatron.
I prefer Galvatron over Megatron. A lot of people hate me for that, but I just align myself more with the cartoon movie. I love everything about the cartoon movie, and they make Galvatron just so badass in the movie. It makes me love him more than Megatron.
And it was kind of cool. I was reading, like, about how there's still, like, it's kind of unknown whether Galvatron is separate, like a separate entity than Megatron, or if Megatron, if, because they don't sometimes reference him as a, like, nobody, you know, references him as old Megatron, but there is like one reference, and then there's also a reference in the cartoon after the fact that's kind of leads on that, yeah, he's just a newer version of Megatron. But it seems like for the most part, everybody, you know, just immediately accepts him as their leader, and there's no real reference to the old, like, Megatron or what have you.
Right.
It seems like there's still a lot of up in the air about whether he's a new person or if he's just Megatron.
If you go with the cartoon, like the Generation 1 cartoon explanation of things, I mean, it is, they take Megatron's, you know, broken body, and Unicron basically does the whole deal with the devil with him to where, like, he agrees to, you know, seek out and destroy the Matrix, and he'll provide him with a new body. he does definitely change in personality,
mm-hmm.
and behavior a lot, but I mean, based on that, to me, it's the same person,
yeah.
but upgraded. Now, if you go, there's some other, I'm not as familiar with the newer cartoon series, but I did watch the recent Michael Bay movie, and their explanation in that, like,
is Galvatron in it?
Galvatron is in the new one.
Is Unicron in it?
Unicron is not in it.
Okay.
But the disappointing parts for it for me is, one, he doesn't transform into a giant cannon like he does in that. Ooh. He's actually a truck in the new movie.
Everything's a car or a truck.
Everything. I know.
Nobody turns into anything cool.
It's everything's like a car or a truck.
Hey, this is like the newest car that just came out. Nobody's going to know what the hell it is. And we're going to forget about it instantly. But
they, in the new movie, they're creating Galvatron based on, like, schematics they're pulling out of Megatron's head. Like, they have Megatron's head, and they're basically, like, pulling data from it to create this new Transformer. Well, apparently, you know, there's been some consciousness along the way, and Megatron basically helps create himself a new host, or whatever you want to call it. But I don't think there was ever really any kind of transference of his mind or anything.
Consciousness.
Yes. And it goes really deep in some of the other, like, forms of media, like the comics and the modern cartoons. I do know that from what I've read, Galvatron becomes like Super Megatron or something like that. I don't know if this is the Japanese influence or something where, like, you know, he's like Super Saiyan now, but yeah, he becomes like Super Megatron or something like that, or King Megatron. I can't exactly remember what it was, but he's converted from Galvatron into an upgraded form of Megatron then, apparently.
And this was in the movie, or is it? No, that's
not
in
the movie.
Show. That's in the show.
I can't. I it's just something I've read online. I don't know if it's in the comic book or if it's in modern TV shows. I want to say there's kind of a combination of the two, but he does eventually get transformed into an upgraded form of Megatron from Galvatron.
So next, I thought we would talk, since we talked about our favorite, Josh is not interested in trying to be original at all, but...
No, I did.
Maybe,
I said
no,
that.
No,
I like
no,
the,
no.
The other one.
No, you didn't say that. I'm Come sorry. On. I'm just joking. It's fine. What? Who did you like? Who was it? Devastator.
Don't pick on my Josh.
Gotta love Devastator. Okay, so what is your least favorite Transformer? Don't start. I'll start at once.
Well, my least favorite Transformer was Bumblebee.
Really?
I just couldn't stand him. Yeah.
I mean, I can see that. I'm definitely not a big fan of Bumblebee, just because, I don't know, he's kind of like the go-to, let's gimmick this towards kids kind of character.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot more prevalent now than it was then. I think they kind of took Bumblebee in, like, you know, his current form and just marketed the crap out of him.
I know. They made him, like, they try and make him the coolest thing ever.
Yes. Like, back in the day, like, I think the thing with Bumblebee was that he was the one that interacted with the humans the most. Maybe I'm crazy in that, but, like, that's the way I seen it. Maybe that's why he was pushed so hard back in the day and currently.
He's a human lover.
He's a human lover.
Those human lovers.
What about, there's something, Scattershot, Afterburner, Strafe, Lightspeed, and Nosegun all form into Computron. Superior. Is it Computron?
Oh, yeah. Computron's awesome.
Well, this guy, what I've been reading, it doesn't, like, I like his thing that he says. What is it? What's his,
it's like, talking about its quote on the back.
Yeah, thorough data analysis is essential to the synthesis of successful strategy. That's what his.
Okay, his those things on the back of those boxes are like written by somebody that never watched the show. Okay, I want you seriously right now. Look up sound waves and read off sound waves what his says on the back of the
box. I don't know. I have a very difficult time doing that because I have a box in front of me. But if somebody else wants to do it.
I will do it real quick here. It's awful. Like, they're all awful.
What about Nightbeat?
I don't even know who that is.
It says there's, like, a detective car. Maybe it's from a newer one. I don't know all of them. But, of course, Wheelie. I hate Wheelie. I hate him.
How can you hate Wheelie?
I hate Wheelie. He's awful.
Wheelie say fine friends today.
Why don't you give me some quotes from Wheelie real quick so we
Wheelie,
can...
okay, hold on. Friend fine left behind is one that he says awful. In the movie. Awful. Friend fine left behind.
Oh, man.
It's and like... then, you go wrong way, you fool, I said.
Awful.
And then there's one where he banters with Grimlock and he's like... me Wheelie say fine friends today. And Grimlock goes, me Grimlock say we on our way. How can you hate Wheelie?
You're phony baloney.
Sizzy up salami.
He's awful.
I love the me Grimlock references all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what really makes me laugh is my youngest daughter. She talks to us like that a lot of times. And she'll be like, I want that me, Daphne. And she'll say that a lot of times in regards to things. She'll say, me, Daphne. But it's not prefacing like Grimlock's. It's always after what she says. I want that me, Daphne.
Hey, you know what? It seems like it's like the quickest way to get understanding. You know, hey, this is me, Daphne.
This is me.
I want that.
Telling you what I want.
I'm not going to. There's no flowery language going to come from me. Just make it happen. Make it happen. You're wasting my time just even talking about it.
That's basically what it is.
Is there a Perceptor?
Perceptor's great, too. Don't crap on Perceptor.
He turns into a microscope?
Yeah, he's like the science officer for the Autobots. What's he supposed to turn into, a personal massage?
I don't know. Something else. It's not a.
I am a cannon full of science. So he's kind of like, yeah, he like.
He could turn into like one of those computers that have the little spinning dials.
And that's cooler than the microscope.
From scanners, yeah, because.
So he's just like an old like tape, real computer then.
Real, yeah. It's awesome. I'm just kidding. I don't know, because it's from scanners.
Then he'll fall into the antiquated technology thing like Soundwave. I mean...
You're going to date yourself. You're putting technology in it. You're going to date yourself.
No so problem. He's a microscope. I mean, it's not like a give-up
model. Microscopes are still used today.
Yeah, there's just different models of them. I mean, it's not like a cassette tape player. I mean, they're still used today in Scott's mom's car, but...
My car has one, too.
Where is it, Mama? Where is it? Don't worry about it. It's there.
Josh loves cassette players.
Yep.
He just gave me a mixtape last time I seen him.
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, it was an 8-track mixtape.
He's like, here, guy. It's a little mixtape. Lots of Michael Jackson on it.
And then you kissed.
Well, naturally. I mean,
You're so happy.
I told him to hold my hair.
Mm. Josh has long hair, just in case you don't get that joke.
He's kind of like, he's got some Jesus hair rocking, actually.
He's past Jesus. He's way past Jesus right now.
I always refer to Josh as my Hispanic Fabio.
Yeah, I can see that. Just put some wind in that hair.
Just put some wind in it.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's nice.
It's pretty glorious.
It is glorious.
I would be brushing it right now.
So, okay, well, Josh, what is your least favorite?
I already said Bumblebee. Well,
Bumblebee, that's right. I'm sorry. Carrie, how about you?
I don't really have a story-wise least favorite. I always kind of just go to, like, toy-wise. Like, I hate the Transformers that don't actually transform. Like, I'm okay with, like, you know, there's people that buy statues of characters that look really cool and stuff like that. But if you're releasing a toy for a Transformer line and it doesn't transform, it just seems a little silly to me. And they came out with a ton of those back in the day. You have the Action Masters, which is just completely contradictory to what their name is.
Just don't put Transform in the title.
They don't do anything. They're terrible.
Just put, make it a different toy that doesn't have like, Transformer in the name.
And I mean, at least if you're going to go from making Transformers into making like an action figure of a Transformer, at least give the thing some articulation. It has no articulation to it. It's like one of the stiffest moving action figures ever.
It's like a blob of color.
Yeah. And then after that, they have the Pretenders, which, I don't know, they might even be worse because they basically have like this crappy shell that goes around what is the robot, like the Transformer. And the shell is to make it look like this bloated person. I guess the best example, if any of you have seen Men in Black, when the space alien comes down and overtakes...
takes the guy's skin and puts
it
on.
Yeah, it puts it on, and it's like, you know, something larger than should fit inside this. So it just awkwardly fits inside of this bloated carcass.
It's beetle-looking. It's very beetle-looking.
So when the thing goes inside a private pile, and, you know, that's what it is for the Pretenders. I don't think anybody got my private pile reference.
No, we did not.
The guy from Men in Black's the same guy that's from Full Metal Jacket.
Yes, yes.
It's Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yeah. Sugar water. Not regular water.
Sugar. Now.
What is it? She had a crazy accent. I always do it now.
I think
totally
she had
blanking.
A Wisconsin accent, unless I'm mistaken on that.
What is she?
Almost like a Bobby's World accent.
Your skin's hanging off your bones.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's Bobby.
You just throw a don't you know at the end of it.
Don't you know.
So I know we talked about a lot of other things, but you know, the main focus was supposed to be about Soundwave. He was a really cool idea back in the day. You know, bad guys, a lot of times they made look cooler than the good guys. I know everybody roots for the good guys to win in the end, but sometimes they make those bad guys that are just so cool that you can't help but like them. And Soundwave's one of those guys. I mean, he had a cool voice. He, you know, may or may not be transforming into something that everybody likes, but you got to figure the little cassette army is pretty cool. And he had his own little entourage just waiting to pop out of his chest, essentially. You have, you know, staples like Laserbeak and Ravage and... Ratbat and Rumble and Frenzy. I mean, and Buzzsaw, which is basically like recolored Laserbeak. But there's so many cool, you know, little robots that pop out of him. I mean, he brings the party with him. It's not like one Transformer.
Soundwave
is here, and he brought guests, and then he just checks his guests out.
He didn't bring any alcohol. This sucks.
he's just going to come here and drink all of our alcohol with him and his little buddies.
We only have one keg. I don't know why he's Russian, but...
But it works. It works. You just got to add a little robotic filter to that voice.
So what we're thinking for the next show is that it would be basically my choices. And I was thinking I might kind of give you a hint of what one of them might be. And I don't know what you guys think, but I know an unfortunate amount of stuff about the new My Little Ponies.
I definitely wasn't expecting you to pick that. Is that going to fall under the...
I don't know. I have no idea.
Or is that going to fall under toy?
I could be whatever I want it to be, because it really is all things. It is all-encompassing.
I'm going to be honest with you, Scott. I appreciate the fact that my girls enjoy this show, but I will not be voting for your My Little Ponies.
Oh, I'll get them on.
That's the topic of discussion.
I could talk about it, though. You know about it, right? You know a lot of stuff.
I am very familiar, but...
How about you, Josh? Are you familiar?
I don't know anything about My Little Ponies.
You won't be on the next episode. So
Scott is a pony dictator, apparently, and...
Are you a brony? Do you claim broniness?
I think so. You know, I'm into it when it's on, and I will watch it. And the fourth season was really great. I'm not going to talk anymore about it, but
I have never watched a full episode of this.
Why not?
I've heard a ton of them in the background as my children are watching them, but it just hasn't been my cup of tea, apparently.
Well, then I challenge you with watching a full episode. Maybe before the next podcast. But it was wonderful talking with you guys. I'm glad you guys could listen. Tune in next time where we talk about Big Trouble in Little China and ponies, maybe? I don't know. Who knows?
But we will be putting another vote up on Facebook of Scott's picks, and I will be voting for something that's not My Little Pony.
And in those picks, I will be in my underwear, so prepare yourself for that.
Oh, I meant picks.
I know. So I changed it.
Not picks as in underwear.
I changed it. Oh, goodbye.
I want to see that.
Goodbye.
I promise everyone I will try to avoid you seeing any underwear pictures.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Till next time.
The Empire strikes back with multiple laser attack, Decepticon infiltration, stealing information, tapping communication with recorded cons, target massive sound wave stereo. I don't believe in a no-win scenario for an epic adventure, no retreat, no surrender. Cleaning up the city with Mayor Mike Hagar, clashing with the Foot Clan in the shadows of the streetlights, spotlights, bright lights. And if you've got a new pet, don't feed him after midnight. Cruising on our bicycles, we never say die. From the attic to the basement, uncovering the secrets with the power bracelet. Ryu and Ken style, kicking it on the pavement, 88 miles per hour, we out of time. Meanwhile, at Warp Zone.